the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. After a banner year of housing approvals in 2024, this year, home starts are way down, even though building more homes has been a priority for London City Council. So today I'm talking with London Free Press reporter Jonathan Juha about the downturn and why it's happening. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Not too bad, yourself.
Good. Okay, so let's talk numbers, first of all, just so we can get a feel for this. Home starts are down 72% so far this year. But what does that mean exactly? How does that translate into like a number of homes?
Well, basically, that's a statistic that the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, they track every month. And obviously, they have like a total tally for the year for all municipalities or the major centers above 10,000 people in population. It gives you, they're counting, you know, new starts, housing starts, or new projects or homes that are being built, apartment buildings and things like that, just to keep or get a better sense of how much construction is actually happening in the community. 2024 was a good year for London in the sense that especially we had a lot of construction when it came to rental units. Apartment buildings were really high. That's one of the reasons why the vacancy rate in the city went up a little bit for the first time in years last year. So a lot of projects were coming online, new projects were being started. But this year, the opposite is happening. I mean, we were due for a little bit of a contraction. It was expected because, again, a big reason behind the numbers that we saw last year was apartment units. And they're not just sort of, they're not counted as just one building, but each unit within the building are put towards that tally for the municipality, right? So we were expecting a little bit of a contraction in that area, but the hope was that we were going to see a rebound in single family homes. Like over 2023 and 2024, with higher interest rates, the affordability crisis that we were experiencing, prices in food, gas, and all of that going up, we saw sort of like the single family home construction lag behind last year. Mm-hmm. But the hope was that as interest rates started to come down, you know, demand was going to go back into the market and we're going to see an uptick in that type of project. That hasn't really materialized this year. The main culprit is the trade war with the US, a lot of uncertainty that has generated. And we are seeing it sort of like we're seeing it on the resale side of the housing market where sales are down in the first 4 or 5 months of this year. They have been down compared to 2024. And now it's also happening here. Like obviously developers and builders, if they're not seeing that their inventory is selling well enough, they're not going to be starting new projects because they don't know if the demand is there or when the demand is going to come back. So that has been sort of like the two key factors that we have seen at play in the numbers. The expected reduction in the construction of apartment units because we had a record year in 2024 and the single family home not really rebounded as it was initially expected for this year.
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing, I know we're talking mainly new home builds and new home starts, but are we seeing a downturn in home resales, like single family home sales at all with realtors?
Yeah, I mean, on the resale side of the market, again, we are down compared to the first 5 months. We are down 17% in terms of sales. And you have to remember that the first half of 2024 was also a very slow year for the London housing market, even on the resale side okay. of things. Again, we were having the issues with affordability, the higher interest rates. So not a lot of first-time home buyers entering the market or qualifying for mortgages and things like that. So the fact that we're seeing even lower sales this year really highlights how tough the market is right now. Obviously, like what I keep hearing from real estate agents and industry experts is, if you don't know if you're going to have a job in 6 months, you're not going to be making $500,000 purchase, right? Or even higher, which the average resale price right now sits around $650,000 here in London. Yeah. And it's even worse for new builds because new homes are usually more expensive than on the resale side of the market. Mm. But talking to the head of the London Home Builders Association, he was even mentioning how townhouses, which are a price point of around $500,000, even those developers are having issues selling some of those properties. And I'm going to be having another story today about that, how even some builders are deciding to turn some of the properties that they initially envisioned to be for sale they're actually putting them into the rental market because they're just the demand is just not there right now.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to get into rentals a little bit more because I want to hear more about that. But let's talk about the tariffs and how that's affecting everything. I mean, it affects a lot of sectors, obviously, but how is that impacting home starts?
Well, the main thing is that it's impacting consumer confidence, right? Again, people not knowing if they're going to be, if their jobs are secure or how the tariffs are going to impact their own industries and livelihoods. So people are not really willing to pull the trigger and get into the market right now until they have a little bit more clarity about how their finances are going to be like in the next few months or year, right? So when you see sort of like that drop in demand and the companies that have already inventory of new homes are not selling their projects or their properties are not selling, then there's no incentive for them to start new housing starts, new projects until they actually get rid of that inventory. So that's a little bit of the holdup, the wait and see until there are no signs of the market that there's a rebound in the market. It's unlikely that developers are going to be willing to start new projects until they can get rid of that inventory that is already selling and they're struggling to sell right now.
So we expected this downturn. Did we expect this much of a downturn?
Well, again, what we were expecting was obviously a contraction or a decline in the number of residential units, again, because 2024 was an outlier year on its own. Like we had so many projects. If you look downtown, there are cranes everywhere. There are projects in the north end of the city. So a lot of rental buildings. So we were expecting to see a decline in that area. But even on both sides of the market, the reseller and construction, 2025 was supposed to be a rebound year because, again, interest rates started to come down since last summer. They were supposed to be even continue to go down as inflation came under control. So you would think the expectation was, you know, the economic conditions are going to be there. No one at the moment, though, was talking about the trade war with the US and what President Donald Trump was going to bring that. So it really comes down and boils down to consumer confidence. People are not willing right now to jump into the housing market again, not knowing if they're going to be able to afford a mortgage in the next few months.
But don't we have a housing crisis? You and I have talked about this a lot, in recent years, been going on for years. And don't we need all these homes?
Absolutely, we do need them. I mean, the population of London is expected to continue to grow in the next 25 years to even grow by about 50%, if I'm not mistaken. But that's what some critics say when they talk about leaving it up to the private sector to build those homes that are needed, because obviously the private sector is influenced and is constrained by what the realities of the market there. If there's no demand, they cannot simply continue to build more supply because then they're going to start losing money on that, right? So the fact that they're needed, like it's 100% true. And the other element of it is the Canadian government, the federal government, they have put no, new restrictions on their targets for immigration. So some economists and analysts were saying, you know what, the next couple of years, while these caps are in place, are going to be critical to increase that supply because we're not going to be having so much people coming in. So we really need to take advantage of it. But again, in no one's calculation was that there was going to be a trade war with the United States, obviously the biggest market for Canadian businesses. So it compounds the issue, the fact that the houses are still needed. Demand is still there in the sense that there's still a need for those homes and people still need to find those properties. The problem is access, getting approval for mortgages, are they feeling financially secure enough to be able to make that purchase? Those are different, like a different aspect of the equation. But again, the private sector is constrained. They're not simply going to build more and more homes if there are not buyers or renters out there.
Okay. You did talk to Jared Zafeman, who's the CEO of the London Home Buyers Association, and he talked about how it's often easier to rent versus getting a mortgage, even though rent is a lot higher than maybe a mortgage payment would be. Why is that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, because we need so many homes, and London's population has been growing, that has been one of the key factors that have also eroded affordability in the rental side of the market. And you can easily find units that are $3,000 dollars a month or in those areas, right? But you don't need to apply to fill like a mortgage application when you're renting, right? So the access it's a lot easier. People are able or not able, but are managing to pay those types of rents. But sometimes it's hard for them to come up with a down payment or passing the stress test that is necessary to get an approval for mortgage. So that those are still barriers of entry into the home ownership market. So what he was referring to is the idea that, you know what, maybe we should look at how we make it easier, because people are already paying prices that in some cases for rent comparable to what they would be paying for a mortgage. The problem is they just don't have a way to get that application approved or get the money for the down payment. So how do we make entry into home ownership a lot easier, so some of these people who are already paying high prices for the rent can use that money instead into home ownership? And in theory, if that's a possibility, then that would increase the demand and the people buying into new properties, which in turn could spur even more home construction in the community right now.
Are there any programs available to make home ownership a little more affordable, a little easier to get?
There are a number of initiatives that are there. Late last year, the federal government made it possible for some first-time home buyers to get a mortgage up to 30 years instead of 25. We're in the process of getting more information about the removal of the GST portion of new purchases, which could bring the cost down by about $27,000 for select first-time home buyers. So some of those initiatives are sort of like taking place. But again, if you think about the fact that you still need to come up with a large sum when it comes to the down payment, while at the same time you're paying high prices of rent, like your ability to save for that moving target, it's more challenging. So part of the equation is always has been, or part of the conversation has been as well, trying to need, you know, we need to increase the supply so prices stay more under control, so wages can sort of like catch up to the growth that we have seen in housing prices. There are a lot of moving elements. It's not a simple solution to the housing affordability crisis that we have, not only in London, but across the country. But there are some steps that the governments are taking to try to boost that home construction. We'll see. Only time will tell if they're enough or not.
Is London's situation, the situation here, very comparable to other cities of our size?
Yes, I mean, if you look at places like Hamilton, Oshawa, home construction is also down there. So it's not that we are unique in this situation. And that speaks to the fact that, again, the trade war has really impacted the Canadian economy and the outlook that people have and the confidence that they have about their financial situation and their future. So we're not the only municipality where we're seeing that impact. But like you said, like the province has some very high targets in terms of housing construction, and it seems like we're nowhere near of hitting those targets anytime soon.
Okay, so what is the general mood among home builders, just the industry in general, people, even landlords, realtors? What's the mood among the industry?
Well, on the rental side, demand is still strong. Prices have stabilized over the past year, over the past 12 months. They haven't been, I mean, there was a time when we were seeing like 15 to 20% increases year over year in rents. We're down to more manageable levels of 2 or 3% and things like that. But the demand's still there. The need for housing, it's still there on the rental side of the market. When it comes to home builders and the real estate agents and the resale side of the market, it's a different situation, especially for people selling their properties, because things are not moving as quickly as they would hope. Even for this year, again, it was supposed to be a rebound year, not only in London, but across the country. And it makes it all the much harder when you come from the pandemic years, which was only 5 years ago, when you were seeing property selling in 7, 8 days, multiple offers. So it's a stark contrast with what we saw 5 years ago in terms of the market and to what we're seeing right now.
And a fairly quick change too.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Jonathan. We're going to watch for your story at lfpress.com, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot more on this. I appreciate your expertise today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.